Amen. This morning I want to share a scripture from the book of Hebrews. Now, I had a situation in the week where I was reading the scriptures and I read a verse. Not this verse, but I read another verse in the scriptures, and even as I read it, the Lord just quickened that to me for this morning. I can't find Hebrews. I said, I've got it. My pages are all stuck together, so I've got so many thumbprints on it, they stick. Hebrews chapter 6. I want to just read this one verse found in verse 19. So towards the end of the chapter. And it says this, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. You know, this morning I want to just talk about hope for a little bit. Now the Bible says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. An anchor, as I'm sure you are aware, is a heavy metal weight, which is, in the case of a ship, is generally has a fork on it, or two forked prongs, designed to secure the ship or the boat to the seabed, enabling the vessel to stay stable and still in turbulent waters, or just to stop it drifting on the tide. You know, it's good to go, and I love to go to little places, little harbours where there's lots of little boats, which is one of the reasons why I like being in somewhere like Malta, because you see a lot of these little boats. And Whitby is another favourite place of mine, though, because you see the boats in the harbour, and other little places we go to where there's boats. And it's good to see. Sometimes you can go to places and see the tides out and these boats just lying on the seabed, and they've got an anchorage point there to secure them, and then when the tide comes in, they're lifted off the seabed, but the anchor stays firm in the bed. And this weight, you know, they always use anchors on hot air balloons as well. You know, that's just a heavy weight to keep the balloon weighted down while they're filling it with the hot air. You know, and these are there to give stability to the vessel, be it the balloon or be it the ship or the boat. And we've got to make the distinction between ships and boats, because they're not the same, and anybody that's fanatical about them will tell you. You don't call a big boat, or you don't call a ferry a boat, it's a ship. And you don't call a fishing boat thing a ship, it's a boat. You know, you've got to get the terminology right. It's the same with planes, and the same with trains, and all these things. And they all have their own codes, and they're referred to by numbers, and you don't call it a train, it's a locomotive, or it's a diesel. You know, you've got to get it right. But an anchor secures the vessel. Now, the Bible says that hope is an anchor for our soul. I want to read this same verse to you in the Amplified Translation, which says this. It says, now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It cannot slip, and it cannot break down under whoever steps out upon it. A hope that reaches farther and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil. Hope, an anchor for the soul, or an anchor for our life. It secures our life. This hope secures our life to the rock, which is Christ Jesus. But let's define that word hope. You know, we use hope all the time. You know, we ask people what they're hoping for Christmas. You know, what they what their hopes and aspirations are for a coming year. Or if you go through a lot of things, you get these in a lot of interviews and things. If you're going for a new job or you're going to see, they ask you, what's your hope for the next so many years? What's your aspirations? Where do you want to be? You know, we use this word all the time. But unfortunately, in the English language, we've weakened the meaning of it a little bit. You know, if you look at it, the dictionary definition of the word hope, you'll see it means to be confident and to be expectant. But what we've made it in, I nearly said the 20th century, in the 21st century, what we've brought this word hope down to is something a little bit above doubt. It's something that we're just wishing for. You know, we don't really expect it to come to pass, but it would be nice if it would. You know, you get a lot of that. You know, I've prayed for quite a few people over the years, and you know, you ask them the question, do you believe Jesus can do this for you? And you get, well, I hope so. Yeah, well, we've got to know yes or no. Do we believe? We've got to say yes, we believe, or no, we don't. It's not to say, well, I hope so, you know, maybe God will, you know, if I do this or if I do that, maybe God will have mercy on. You know, it's just living. Somebody once likened that to a little bit of like the lottery. You know, I'm not suggesting you do it, but if you sort of played something like a lottery or something like that, you're only hoping that you might come up and win. If you buy a raffle ticket on one of, you know, and I've been caught quite a few times, you know, in one of these, when I've gone to the football tournaments and things, and they come round with the raffle tickets and say, do you want to help the club out and buy a raffle ticket? Now, don't mind helping the club, but, you know, don't really, when they give you the raffle tickets, you know, you might buy five, but do you really, have you got any hope of winning the actual main prize? You know, you think, well, it'd be nice if I did, but I don't really expect so. You know, that's not what the Bible definition or the Bible understanding of the word hope is. You know, where we hope God will meet our need. We hope God will provide something. We hope God will touch us, but we're never too sure whether he will or not. Now, the Bible understanding of hope, when it says, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul. This Bible understanding is something that is earnest, confident, and it's actually confident expectation. And it's really closely connected to faith. And often when we say we're in faith, so we're believing God for something, what we're actually saying is we've got our hope in God. Our hope is in God. What we refer to as faith is actually hope. Because faith is an unwavering trust on God's word. You know, it's without wavering. We trust what God says or we trust God. But actually what we do is we put our hope in him. And we say, yeah, God, we're trusting you to, that you've said this, we believe it, we're putting our faith in your word, and now we put our hope in God that God will bring it to pass for us, because God has said it, he will do it for us. So confident expectation in God and his word, and this hope keeps us secure in the midst of trials. You know, when the storms of life beat upon our ship, you know, when the wind blows and the waves beat against us, you know, we face all sorts of problems and all sorts of trials, we've got this hope as an anchor for our soul. You know, just like it says in the, and it's only mentioned a few times in the scriptures, and one of those is in the account, three times actually in the same chapter, in Acts 27, where it's talking about Paul. He tells the men to drop the anchors. To drop the anchors on the ship because the ship was about to be driven onto the rocks and onto the sands. So he tells them they drop the anchors. You know, we can drop the anchors in God. We can say, God, this is what you said. And we put in our confidence in your word. And it doesn't matter how strong the storm gets or how hard it beats on the boat. We are resting in what you said, and we've dropped our anchor, and it secures our boat and stops us from drifting in those stormy seas. You know, when we use that word expectation, that's what hope means. And when I read the hope in the scriptures, and whenever that word comes up in it, I say this expectation. That's the way I read it. This expectation we have as an anchor of the soul. both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. This expectation. That got me thinking, whenever I think about a pregnant woman. Now they tell us that there's nothing more attractive than a pregnant woman. Well, I don't know whether that's right or not. But certainly, if you've ever been around a mother that's expecting a child, or maybe you've been one yourself, you will know that that woman is eagerly expecting the birth of her child. Everything she does in her actions, everything she talks about is about the baby. How do I know that? Well, you've only got to be around one to know these things. Perhaps it's a little bit different nowadays to what it used to be, but she will show the picture of her scan to everybody she meets. She got that little photograph of, and let's be honest, most of us can't really see the baby when we look at the picture. It's just a haze of fuzzy lines on the photograph. But she knows that that's my baby. And she shows you. Now there it is. She'll have great pleasure and great delight in telling you that she's been to the clinic and, you know, she's put on this amount of weight and the baby's grown this amount. And, you know, she'll tell you every time it kicks, every time it moves. She's happy with, and it's the only time she's happy with it, the size of her bump. You know, as soon as she's had the baby, then it's how quickly can she get rid of the bump. But while she's got the baby, it's the bump's great. She mixes with other pregnant women. She goes to the classes. She learns how to breathe when it's time to give birth. She learns how, as much as they can teach you, you know, how to look after the baby. She'll go to great lengths to get the house ready. Painting, decorating, buying up blankets and clothing and baskets and whatever. She's expecting her baby. She's got that confident expectation that one day she's going to give birth. And she starts preparing for it. Everything about her language, everything about her life revolves around that little baby which hasn't yet been born. She's so expectant that it changes her whole outlook on life. And that's exactly how we're meant to be with the things of God, the things we're trusting God for, the things we're believing God for. It's that type of expectation that brings the manifestation of what we're trusting God. It's that type of expectation that brings us through the problem. It's when we drop that anchor of hope and we say, this is what God has said. And you know people that are really believing God, because they start talking about what God's going to do. Yeah, God's going to do this. God's going to do that. Yeah, God is moving. I'm coming out of the problem. I'm going through this. I'm not stopping in the problem. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. God is bringing that. That's the way we should be talking. You know, that's the way, because that's the way the pregnant mother talks. You know, the bump's growing. You know, we should be talking. The blessing's getting nearer every day. You know, the answer to our problem is on the horizon. It's getting closer day by day. Every day we live, we're one step closer to our breakthrough. That's the way we should be talking when we're trusting God for things. Now, I want to just turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 15. This is the verse I read the other day, which I just want to share some things this morning about hope. Now we know what hope is. You know, hope is not that, I think the best word to it is that wishy-washy, I'm hoping something's going to happen. It's not the, I once heard somebody preach on what they called the gospel casino, you know, where we just take our chances and we hope God's going to come through for us. You know, hope is having an earnest, confident expectation. Now in Romans 15, verse 13. It says this, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's three things this morning I want to bring out from this verse. And before I do it, let me just give you that verse again, in this time in the Amplified version again. It's a translation I do like reading. It says, "May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope." Now the first thing we see in that verse is found in the first few words. Now may the God of hope. God is the source of our hope. You know, hope is conceived in our hearts by the Word of God. You know, it's part of the progression of faith. You know, we see something in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans tells us. You know, faith comes, faith is birthed by the Word of God. You know, when we read or we hear the Word of God, or we hear God speaking to us, particularly when we're in a time of trial or we're in a time of great need, you know, God will just drop something into our spirits. He'll speak His Word, and hope will be conceived in our heart, just like the baby is conceived in the womb. You know, but that's got to grow, that's got to develop. You know, we don't just come right out and expect God. You know, so there's faith. We put our faith in God's Word. You know, we say, "Yes, God, I believe. I can't see how it's going to happen, Father, but I believe that's what you said. At the moment, I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I believe that's what you said." And as we start applying our faith on God's Word, hope is conceived inside us, in our hearts. And then we get to the point where, because we know God has said it and God has promised it, that we are confident and we expect God to honour His Word. We start hoping for God. So our hope, God is the source. You know, He is the one that conceives it in us. He's the one that plants it in us. Now He's the one that develops it, you know, as we trust Him. You know, it's the work of God, the work of His grace. God is the source of our hope. Now may the God of hope. You know, there are other scriptures that say the same thing, that God is the source and the author of our hope. Remember, we looked at that scripture in Hebrews a few weeks ago. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse says that we're talking about running our race, we run with endurance, the race set before us. Verse 2 of Hebrews 12 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Looking unto Jesus, who is the author of our faith. The one who starts or conceives it in us. Secondly, it goes on, it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Yes, God is the source of our hope, and joy and peace are the evidence of our hope. You know, being full of joy and being at peace, you know, just show us and are our evidence that we are standing in God. You know, if we're at turmoil and we're not at peace, we're not in hope. Because joy and peace are the evidence of our hope. Now when we trust God, when we're fully expecting God to come through, that brings a peace. And I want to, not today, but in the coming weeks and months, you know, the Lord instructed me just a few weeks ago that we're going to sort of look at a series of teaching on entering into the rest. Because there comes a point in our stand with God, in our walk with God, that we've got to say, "God, we're just resting in you. We're confident that you're going to take care of it. We're confident that you're going to honour your word, and we just rest. You know, if we have a sleepless night because we're worried about the problems, we're not at rest. But if we know that God is taking control of it, we can sleep easy. If we know that we're confident that the answer's going to come. You know, if, let's just say, for example, let's say you've got a pressing bill, something like an electric bill or something like that, and you haven't got a clue how you're going to pay. You know, and it's kept you up night after night for quite a few days. And you think, well, I can never afford to pay, I'm not going to be able to pay this. Now let's just assume, I'm not going to say it's going to happen, it may be one day, but not this week. Let's say I ring you up, and I say, you know that bill you've been worrying about? I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to settle that bill. You can go to bed that night and you can sleep easy because you know it's being taken care of. You haven't got to worry of it anymore because I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to pay it for you. And you can rest and be at ease. You know, and then you can be at peace. You can be joyful because what was once a problem to you is now no longer a problem because somebody else is taking care of it, namely me. Now that's how it is with God. Now when we're confident that God is going to answer, we can rest, we can be joyful, we can praise Him, we can be at peace. You know, we can start talking about God is bringing me out. God is meeting my need. All our life will revolve around the expectation of what God is going to do for us. Just like that woman we talked about that was pregnant. Everything she talks about is about the baby. It's about the birth, you know. She plans who's going to be there. You know, she plans what's going to happen. Whether she's going to go to hospital, she's going to have it at home, whether she's going to have it natural, whether she's going to birth it. I don't know a lot about babies and pregnancy. But I know some things. You know, they start talking. You know, they're different. They bloom. You know, there's a glow about a pregnant woman. It's because she's joyful and she's at peace. Because she knows she's expecting. You know, and that's what happens, you know, when we have hope. You know, we can be joyful, we can glow, we can be blooming, because we know God is going to come through. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's the power of the Holy Spirit which is the fullness of our hope. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that brings what we are in hope for to its manifestation, or its brings it to fruition. Do you remember the account in Luke's Gospel where the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and announces to Mary that she's going to have a child, and she starts. He starts to tell her. He says, "Look," he says, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Jesus." He says, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary says to the angel, look, he says, "I don't understand. Now how can this happen? You know, I haven't got a man, I'm not married." And then the angel says to look, he says, "This is how it's going to be. This is how it is with each and every one of us when we're going through things. We might not understand how God can bring us out." He says, look, he says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God." You know, the Holy Spirit is the fullness of our hope. You know, He brings it to fruition. He will bring what we are expecting God for. What we're standing in faith for. What we're in hope for. You know, when we got our anchors down, You know, the storm. We're riding out the storm. We're riding out the pressures. You know, there comes a time when the storm will cease. When we can lift anchors and sail on, move on. You know, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring our hope to fruition, to bring it to manifestation. You know, there's a lovely scripture in, well, it's said it quite a few times, and it's, you'll have to forgive me, but taking it completely out of context. And it's wasn't really put in the scriptures like this, but it says very often, and it came to pass. It came to pass that on the next day Jesus went here. It came to pass that this happened. It came to pass that something else happened. Well, if you're in a storm, let me tell you, it's come to pass. It's coming, it's going to pass, it's going to blow over. You know, the Holy Spirit will see that it comes to an end. You know, He will bring your hope to fruition. So what you're going through will come to an end. There will be a light at the end of your tunnel. You know, there will be a cessation to the raging of the storm that's beating on the boat. You know, let's go back to the pregnant mum. You know, there comes a time when it comes to pass. You know, she's been expecting for 9 months, talking about this baby. So excited, normally. So excited about the birth of this baby. And she's looking forward to that day when, now, she's going to go through some pain, but she's looking forward to that day when she gives birth. And she doesn't know, she knows roughly when it's going to be, but she doesn't know the exact day or hour. That she knows the season, because she knows her time is getting near. But there comes a time when suddenly the waters break and she goes into labour. Now, it's not easy for her, but it's coming to pass. Everything she's expected for 9 months is about to be brought into the world. It's about to come to fruition. You know, and then she goes through the labour pains, and she goes wherever she does, and she gives birth to the child. You know, hope always comes to pass. I want to close with one more scripture, found in the book of Isaiah. It's a good promise. And it's talking about a pregnant woman in Isaiah 66. You know, and the prophet here is, he's remembering or speaking about a woman that's with child, and he says, before she was in labour, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labour, she gave birth to her children. Now here's the promise in verse 9. It says, shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord. Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, says your God. You know, when you're standing in hope, you know, you could have this promise that God will not bring you to the point where it looks like you're about to break through and then cut off the supply. He's not like that. He says, shall I bring to the point of birth and not cause delivery? You know, when you are in hope, there's going to be a delivery. You know, a lot of people, I remember going to visit with Dad some time ago, many years ago. We went to visit an elderly pastor near Norwich, Pastor Sedley. I think he was on our driving around at the time praying for the area, and we passed through that where they lived, the Pimlocks, northwest Norwich. And we called in on this old man, certainly. And one of the things I remember him saying on that visit, and it's always stuck with me, he said, he talked about being pregnant with what God was going to do. He talked about being pregnant. And this is another scripture. It's just, you know, when you're pregnant like that, you know, when you've got something inside, God has conceived something inside you. You know, hope has been conceived in our hearts. You know, we've lived that, we enjoy our peace about it, confidently expecting God to bring it to pass. That comes to the point where God causes delivery. You've got to give birth. You can't carry this thing for endless number of years in the natural. I think it's the elephant that can carry the child for up to 2 years. The bull for up to 2 years. But not for human beings. You know, the term is 9 months. You know, there is a time when you come to the point where you've got to give birth to what you're standing and believing God for. You know, hope is conceived. Hope is, joy and peace are the evidence that we're in hope. And the Holy Spirit will bring us to that point where we've got to give birth. And it's got to come to fruition. There's got to be the manifestation. May the God of hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. You know, as we go from here this morning, let's go with that on our hearts, that this hope we have as an anchor of our souls. It will not slip, and it cannot break down. Doesn't matter how much pressure is put upon it, this hope will keep us firm. It'll keep us secure. It'll keep us stable. You know, even through the fiercest storm, we can be firm if we anchor. You know, we have hope, anchoring in Jesus. So let's be encouraged that there will be a day of fruition. There will be a manifestation. You know, God will bring us to the point of delivery. And we will give birth. Amen.